Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Perfect Parlay Pick segment. Week 3 edition coming up in about 15 or so minutes. We'll get back to the phones here, BT. But, I mean, you mentioned it just before, Jaden Daniels is out. I mean, that's a problem. One of the bright young stars in a league, he's out. We know about Justin Fields being ruled out. You heard about it with Nick talking about J.J. McCarthy, Joe Burrow. They're out. Although I did see something that Purdy might be playing in Week 3.
That's
not 100% sure what's the latest with him. But, dude, already Week 3, a rash of injuries as far as the starting quarterbacks around the league.
It's just, you know, hold your breath and hope that it works out for you. I mean, that's why you don't want to see these guys play during the summer. That's why you just want to get to the season. And it is just... I mean, it's an epidemic, man. These guys drop like flies. It's crazy.
All right, so what are you supposed to do to combat that? I mean, the league has done everything they possibly can to try to keep these guys safe and healthy and prevent them from getting touched even, let alone hit, but yet they still happen. It goes to show you, like, no matter what you do with pitchers in baseball, quarterbacks in football, like, it's just a part of the game, unfortunately.
I don't think there's really anything that you can do. I think that that's why one of the things that I remember saying a long time ago, like, when you look at the salary cap, because these quarterbacks make so much money, and when they get hurt, it's just so incredible. And even when they're healthy, either way, it's incredibly punitive to the percentage of the cap, right? So I think a lot of people get wrapped up in, well, this guy's making 45 or 50 million, which is not really that important to me. It's more like, what percentage of the cap do they take up? I would almost love to see the NFL, and this is a bigger conversation down the road, but I would like the NFL at some point to almost change the impact that a quarterback's percentage has on the actual roster pertaining to the cap, because once a guy gets hurt,
now you're screwed.
You're talking 18%, 20%, 22%, 23%, that's out.
How about the idea of quarterbacks today's day and age? And I'm not just talking about running quarterbacks. Like, Joe Burrow is not a running quarterback clearly the way that Justin Fields is, but he's still a quarterback that can move around maybe more than we used to see back in the day 30, 40, 50 years ago. There's got to be something too that, like, I know we've evolved and it's like, wow, these guys are better athletes than they've ever been before. Yeah, but maybe there was a reason why back in the day it was all about protecting the quarterback, getting rid of the football in a timely manner, even when guys used to get drilled and were allowed to get hit, because you knew how important it was to get, don't run the football, like, get rid of it because you don't want him to get hit.
It's a really good point. I mean, the guys and everything that was done back in the day was to protect the quarterback, not so much from a rules perspective, but just the way you call plays here. Now they've outsmarted themselves where, whether it's the RPO and you put quarterbacks in space making split-second decisions, whether they keep it, hand it off, tuck it and run, throw it. I mean, you got a quarterback in the middle of a football field with a linebacker coming downhill. I mean, I don't care how good of an athlete you are. Eventually, you're going to get decked and you're going to get hurt and it's going to really compromise your season. So it necessitates, that's why, you know, you like to see the Jets have a win by now rather than being 0-2. But that's why having a backup like Tyrod Taylor, it's important here, you know, and too many teams, they just, we'll have this young guy behind our starter or this unproven, you know, veteran retread, where that's just really not the way to go. If you're a team with championship aspirations and you don't have a legitimate backup on your roster, you're missing the mark.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Gus is calling from Mamaroneck. What's up, Gus?
Hello, Gus.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Always a pleasure to talk to you guys. How you doing today?
Good.
I got 2 points. One is based on a caller earlier this morning who mentioned about having ready to quit being a Jets fan.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I've been a Packers, Rangers, and Knicks fan since 1966. I've been a Mets fan since 1962. So talk about frustration. I mean, thank God for the Packers that gave me some life. But for the most part, it's been very frustrating being a fan. And the only thing you do is just hang in there and pretty much stick with your team and hope for the best. Now, as far as my second point, it just pertains to the Mets pitching rotation. I like the fact that they had Holmes and Manaea split a game. I thought that was pretty good. It worked out well for them. I think it could work out in the playoffs as one of the pitchers in one of the games. But I like Sprout and I like McNeil as far as to pitch the first two games.
McLean, you're talking about.
What's your opinion?
And thank you for the call, Gus. We appreciate you checking in. We appreciate waiting on hold for that. Yeah, I mean, here's my opinion on it. Get there, and then we'll discuss. I know it's a talking point. We've done it on this show. I've done it on Baseball Night in New York. My thing is, it's such a day-to-day thing, right? If you would have asked me this question, and we did probably have this conversation last week or 2 weeks ago, my answer was different 2 weeks ago than it was last week than it would be right now. Like, I would have had Peterson in it for sure a couple weeks ago, and now for sure he's out of it. 4 weeks ago or a month ago, maybe it's like, yeah, probably Senga's in it. Now he's completely out of it. He's out of the picture completely now. If, you know, now the idea of piggybacking Holmes and Manaea to me is more appealing than even Sproat. Let's see what Sproat does over the weekend. If Sproat goes out there and dominates, then it's like, yeah, well, he's got to be in the rotation, whether it's game two or game three. If he gets hit hard, then it's like, well, maybe you go with Jonah Tong. Like,
yeah.
There's so many variables from day to day. That's where that rotation is at. It's in shambles right now. It's not that it can't be successful, but it is in total disarray.
To me, there's two things I definitively believe. Number one, game one, I'm giving McLean the baseball, number one.
And that's it.
That's a given. And then the other given, you said it, Musenga's coming nowhere near the staff. He's done.
That's right.
Those are my two decisions
staff,
right now.
Period. Yeah,
like the staff. I don't want him on the roster. I don't even come out of the bullpen. That was a massive step back in the minors, and he's just been all over the map, not interested in watching him pitch. So,
and by the way, yesterday, because I was actually surprised to see this, Mendoza said yesterday, before Senga even took his start, he was asked in the hypothetical, if Senga does well again tonight, does that mean he's going to be on the postseason roster? And he said, no guarantee.
Yeah, I thought that was very telling there.
Me too.
Very,
I was actually surprised
very
by that.
I was a little surprised by that, too.
And then he gets again,
but the point, before he pitched.
Right, correct.
So if he comes out and he throws a jet, like, there wasn't a whole lot of wiggle room right there. Not that they couldn't change their mind, but the fact that he was so noncommittal before he pitched poorly tells you all you need to know in terms of how they view Senga right now, and I think that they're right. So the other things I'm very intrigued with, like if Sproat pitches really well this weekend, That's a pitcher that I want getting a start. The tandem of Holmes and Manaea, it's more appealing than I thought it was for me a couple of days ago when we were going back and forth on Manaea. Tong's ability to bounce back was very impressive, but it's one start. So there's still a lot of things up. There's a lot of things up for interpretation, not a lot of games left to figure out what the hell's going on.
Dude, you know, and this is why I was saying yesterday, like, I just don't know if they have enough to get over the finish line. When has it been before, let alone on a playoff team, but just in general, that you were trying to piece together the remaining nine games or the next nine games without knowing who the hell is going to be starting and who you trust? Like, okay, guys in rotations, I don't care how good you are, have a bad stretch, a couple of bad starts, but at least you know, well, he's on our rotation. With the Mets, it's like...
Max Fried for about 7 weeks with the Yankees. He was all over the map, but you knew he was going to be one of your starters.
He's in the rotation. Rodon, this year not. Been good this year. But like, at least with the Yankees, he wasn't particularly good. Was it last night or two nights ago? Two nights ago with Hill. He wasn't particularly good, but yet, you know, he's in the rotation. Now, where they stack him in the playoffs, who knows? But point is, you know the rotation. With the Mets, they don't know the rotation. They're just throwing stuff at the wall. Hey, we got to call this guy up. Let's just hope that it works. And one leak is plugged, another leak springs. That's what's been going on with the Mets.
Well, that's one of the reasons when we were talking last week and we were talking about the managers. Now, I am of the record, and I believe this, and I pointed out, you know, reasons why I don't need to do it again, but I think Mendoza's had a spotty year, okay? And I've given you evidence as to why I believe that. But what I also said, because we were kind of talking about Boone and Mendoza, I think that Mendoza has had a much tougher job this year just based on all the variables of not only who's going to start in terms of being a pitcher, but then also given the lack of length, now you've got to really make sure. I mean, it's just a lot more levers to hit from a bullpen perspective. And when there's more buttons to hit, to be fair to Mendoza, there's more chances that you make mistakes.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Yankees, all right, so Cruz was hurt a little bit this year, but Freed's been a staple, even though he wasn't pitching great. Rodon's been a staple.
Plus, their offense has been better than the Mets has been.
Yeah, true. It's been more consistent. I just think that there's been more things that Mendoza's had to work around than Boone.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to some football calls. John is calling from Boulder, Colorado. What's up, John?
Gentlemen, how are you? Always a pleasure, guys.
All right, John.
How are you?
Hey, real quick on the Giants, but first, BT, man, if you don't mind, we're about the same age, man. Where'd you grow up in Bensonhurst?
I didn't grow up in Bensonhurst. I grew up in Marine Park.
Oh, my bad. I thought you were from Brooklyn.
My bad. You sound like you're from Wyoming. You don't sound like you're from Bensonhurst.
He's in Boulder right
right,
now.
I know. I never heard anybody from Bensonhurst say it like that. Anyway, go ahead, John. Let's cook
it. Forget about it.
Oh, good. There you go. That's more like it.
So, you know, man, obviously I listen to you guys the most, but, man, like, where did y'all think the Giants' defense was going to be good this year?
Well, they got five first-round picks.
But who, though? I mean, this guy Carter better hit the weight room, man. He ain't pushing college kids around anymore.
Burns,
decent guy.
Burns has been terrific.
Thibodeau's garbage.
No, he's not. He's not garbage, dude.
Yeah, John, you're being unfair there.
He's not garbage. And, John, by the way, either way, I mean, first of all, Thibodeau's not been garbage. And you know, neither Sal nor myself think he's a superstar, but we got to be fair to the guy. And he does look stronger this year. He's winning, like, more leverage points. He's pushing people back, which he didn't really do a year ago. Dexter Lawrence has to wake up. But the point is, the reason why a lot of people, including me, thought that the Giants' defense would be really good is because they not just because they devoted a lot of first-round picks and free agent money to it, but because we've seen them play. Lawrence has been an all-pro. Burns was phenomenal in his prior place of employment. He's been very good this year. You know, and there's five guys on the Giants that should disrupt the game. And I'm not seeing it yet, and that's a problem.
Yeah, same thing. And now we're not breaking down the film. I really don't care to. And even Abdul Carter, like, yeah, he's had some good moments. Okay, week two or through 2 weeks. My comp, and maybe this is not fair, but it's just the most recent example, is Micah Parsons. When you draft an edge rusher, a pass rusher in the top five, top ten, that's the type of impact that I am expecting. That's the standard that I held Kayvon Thibodeau to years ago. We haven't seen that. We saw spurts of it.
Miles Garrett years ago.
Yeah, those kind of guys.
You're talking
about an elite
Bosa
game-changing game wrecker.
Yep.
And Abdul Carter, to me, the comp was clearly Micah Parsons. And through 2 weeks so far, we just have not seen that type of impact. It doesn't mean that he's been a bust or he's going to be like...
No.
But with Kayvon, that's the thing. Like, these guys, these are top five picks. Like, they're held to a high standard as far as being an elite pass rusher and game wrecker, and we just have not seen it consistently enough.
The only thing that I don't even want to, it's not that I'm worried about Carter at all. I think he's going to be a superstar. I still do. Thought that the day he was drafted. But if the Giants had a bunch of nobodies next to him and they were just focusing on him, then I could say, all right, I could see why he's been a little slow to the party. Like, the Giants have a lot of guys that opposing coordinators know that they got to try to stop, you know, whether it's Burns, whether it's all the names that we always say. So you would think that it would be a little bit easier for Carter to wreck some spots in the game because he's going to have more one-on-ones, and he hasn't really done that yet.
Could also be on the defensive coordinator. I know he's everybody's favorite whipping boy here, but he's got to figure out a way to let him loose and just let him go.
Let him eat.
Find out a way to get them going, get them in the backfield, stop being so damn conservative.
All right, time for BT and Sal football picks brought to you by Cash App.
All right, perfect parlay pick segment, week three. A close call. I celebrated in the pool thinking I had it. Broncos win. Nope, penalty flag, perfect parlay off the board, and the Broncos, in fact, lost. So we have a standings board, BT. I'm out in front with 20 points based off of the head-to-head, you know, straight up the Giants and Jets winners. Hoff is at 15, and you are at 10. We all collectively hit, picking against both the locals last.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Week looking to see if we can cash a perfect parlay, two teamer worth 25, three teamer worth 50, four teamer worth 100, and then of course the straight up winner, Jets and Giants, each week worth five with no spread. BT, take it away for week three.
All right, there's the music. Let's go try to get on the board. We're gonna go not one, not two, we're gonna go with a little three spot here. First up, Sal's Falcons, Atlanta minus 5.5 in Carolina on the road. Now the Falcons had six sacks last week, and they had 11 quarterback hits. So that obviously bodes well for them. Carolina's offensive line is an absolute shambles. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Carolina allows right around 150 yards rushing per game. I know it's a small sample in two, but I think the Falcons will run it. I think they'll get to their quarterback. When they get the lead, they'll be able to keep it because they'll be able to run it. Falcons minus 5.5. Give me Atlanta. Lay the points inside of a touchdown, number one. Number two, Dallas is at the Bears. I double-check the weather here just to make sure, but obviously you want to make sure you're on top of that. Right now it looks okay. Over under 49.5. And I am going to take the over in this game here. Dallas, to me, I think anytime Dallas steps on the field, they're going to have a chance to get 30. So now you start to look at it and say, well, can the opposition sniff 20 or so? And I believe that Chicago can, probably more Dallas being more in the mid-30s and maybe the Bears being just short of 20. Anyway, you add it up, you do the math, it should be good to go over the 49.5, which is what it is. I'll take the over there. And finally, I will probably lament this here, but I'm going to take the Giants and the Chiefs.
Wow.
I'm going to touch this game. You know, generally when I try not to do this too much with these picks, but when I have a good conviction during the week, even though I've been out a couple of days this week, but certainly today, I don't think that the Chiefs are going to run up the, I just don't think they're going to score a ton of points. I don't. I also don't think the Giants do what they did last week here, but the Giants getting six at home Sunday night, desperate. I mean, come on. If you can't at least cover and hang around, what the hell are we doing? So I will take the Giants at plus six. In summation, Sal, Falcons minus 5.5 in Carolina. That's one. Number two, Dallas at Chicago, over 49 and a hook. And I will take the G-Men Big Blue plus six against Kansas City.
Plus 6.5.
Plus 6.5.
There you go. All right,
Hoff, even better.
What do you got us for week three? Hoff was close last week.
Oh, good song.
You almost hit your four-teamer.
Yeah, I know you said that you were very close. I was very close, too. I went into the afternoon game 3-0. So okay. I felt very good. And the
Chiefs.
Yeah, they let me down.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I don't like any of these games this week. I got to be honest with you. There's okay. Too many injuries. The quarterbacks are all iffy. The teams are all scrambled. This sucks, but I'm still going to do a three-teamer, okay?
He doesn't like anybody, so he chops off one team.
That's okay. Right. Yeah. Right.
Put the house on these.
Yeah. Sure. The one game I did like a lot was the Indianapolis game at Tennessee. I know Tennessee's got a good defense, but I believe in Daniel Jones. I believe what he's doing. I believe that they will cover a minus 4.5 in Tennessee. I think that's a no-brainer. I think that's the most obvious choice of all the bunch on Sunday. So I'm taking Indianapolis minus 4.5 at Tennessee. And then I'm going to Tampa Bay. BT.
Yeah.
BT.
Yes, I'm listening.
I wish this was double digits. I'd still go Tampa Bay.
Wow.
I'm going Tampa Bay minus 6.5. Baker Mayfield is going to light up Sauce all day long. Last week, he looked bad. I think he's going to look worse this weekend. I do. And I got to be honest with you, I like Tyrod Taylor, but I watched him too many times, even with the Giants, go to the end zone when they played Buffalo. Went to the end zone twice at the end of the first half, at the end of the second half, and come up with 0 points. I think that's kind of what he does. He's good moving the ball. They just can't score with him. So, unfortunately, I'm taking Tampa Bay minus 6.5 versus New York Jets. And then I'm going as well to MetLife. I too, am feeling that the Giants will keep it close. Plus 6.5, New York Giants versus Kansas City.
Oh, God. All you guys are making me wish I went against it. I couldn't do it. All right. There you go. Hoff's picks week three in the books. I really, really would like to take the Chiefs here, but I have an issue with them. They just don't cover, period. So this is not about I'm scared of the Giants. I just can't lay that the points with the Chiefs with anybody, especially 6.5 on the road. But if I had to, I would. But I like four games better. I'm going with a four-team parlay. We're going to start in Chicago, where you took the Bears last week, I think it was, BT.
I did.
And I think you had the right feel, just the wrong game. You know, they get demolished by the Lions. I don't think the Cowboys are any good. So that's my pick is I think the Bears are better than what they've played. And I don't think the Cowboys are any good. I think they were inflated by the poor Giants defense. Give me the Bears at home, where now everybody's going to put the Bears to bed. They're getting 1.5 at home. I think they win that game over Dallas. That's game number one. Game number two, give me the Eagles, -3.5 at home. They haven't had the real great performance yet. The lightning and the rain got in the way that first Thursday night. They beat the Chiefs. That's a good win on the road, but it really wasn't that dominant performance from the Super Bowl champs. I expect them to roll over the Rams. Big defensive performance, big offensive performance. Maybe A.J. Brown make him happy this week. Give me the Eagles in a very comfy double-digit win over the Rams. They're laying 3.5 points for game number two. Game number three, I'm going to go to Washington, and it's no Jaden Daniels. He's out. Marcus Mariota, he's in. He stinks. Give me the Raiders on the road, +2.5. My guy Pete Carroll, I know Geno's been terrible this year, too many interceptions. They're going to run the football on Washington like the way the Giants should have been able to do it effectively. Give me Pete Carroll and the Raiders to get their second win of the season, and I'll take the 2.5 points on the road to go along with it against Washington. And game number four, give me the 6.5's way too many points, BT. I'm surprised you didn't take him here.
I'm trying to keep the heart out of it.
Understood.
I'm trying.
This was a winnable game to me before, you know, 2 weeks ago when I saw it on the schedule. And I think it's an even more winnable game now. Offensive line for the Bucs banged up. Even with Tyrod Taylor, I still think the Jets are going to be able to go down there, establish their run, play some solid defense. I think the Jets come away with a win, let alone cover the 6.5 points. So give me the Jets. Those are the four games. Jets +6.5, Raiders +2.5, Eagles -3.5, and the Bears +1.5. As for the straight up, give me the Jets. Whoa, thank you there, Dove. Give me the Jets and give me the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs win easy. I didn't have the guts to lay the 6.5, but give me the Jets and the Chiefs.
All right, I'm going to go with the Bucs, and I'm going to go with the Giants to win a nail-biter against Kansas City Sunday night.
I like it. Chance to gain some ground here between the two of us. What do you got, Huff?
So we're all different. I am going Tampa Bay, and I'm going Kansas City. You got to show me I can win a game. No one's done it.
You have the Giants, but plus the points, Kansas City to get the win.
That's correct.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That concludes week three already in the Perfect Parlay Pick segment.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert. Josh is calling from Long Island. What's up, Josh?
Been a Jets fan for over 30 years, and I have to come on the air and say I'm hanging them up. I'm trading in my green and white. Yep. I'm going to go Bills, man. I've been a Bills fan. I've supported them.
Josh,
and listen, every year I listen to you guys forever. Okay. Every year we do this. They suck. Every year.
I mean, think about you. The day that the Jets crack through And with your luck, it's going to coincide when the Bills suck. So, I mean, come on, man. There's no way. I don't believe you. There's no way you are not tapping out. You're not. No, you're not.
Let me tell you. I said this to. I'm going to say what I told you to my family, and I literally came out. I was like, "This is a big decision. I'm doing it." And here's why: if the Jets were to even win a championship in a year or two or three or four or five, I don't know that it would undo the 30 plus years of absolute misery.
I get it, dude.
I just don't think it would undo it.
And that is a bad way to look at it, because think about that hypothetical. Even if the Jets were to win a championship in the next three, like, come on, dude.
In the next couple of years.
Like, why would we ever think that that's realistic? And even if they did, would it undo? I think it would for a lot of fans. Just one would undo
Yeah. I mean, put it this way. I'd like to be able to make the judgment myself and not have to guess what it would feel like.
You think you'll ever see one in your life?
I mean, honestly, I don't really expect one.
But if I asked you, exactly, 20 years ago, you'd be like, yeah.
Of course. Well, yeah. Time is more on your side at that point. Time's ticking, dude. I mean, eventually you got to calculate the odds. The odds change a little bit. They'll crack through.
Yeah.
Unkillable.
There you go.
They'll get it.
Regenerate. Took you a few seconds. BT and Sal's Player to Watch is sponsored by ELEC 825, Building Our Future, Collars & Co., the original dress collar polo, and by New York OASAS. Don't know, don't judge, turn the page on stigma. Learn more at oasas.ny.gov. For me, BT, I'm going to Sunday Night Football, and I'm going with the guy who people have left for dead and buried. They're ripping him because of his popular podcast and his immensely popular fiance. Travis Kelce is going to have a monster game Sunday night against the Giants defense that has not been very good at all. I think the Chiefs are sick and tired of losing. They're even more sick and tired of hearing about it. And there is something they could do about it come Sunday against the Giants. Give me Travis Kelce as my player to watch.
Going with Kelce. All right, I'm going to go to a quarterback here who, you know, let's face it. I mean, at what point is do we start turn the page on what Trevor Lawrence is going to be or who he is? Trevor Lawrence has just not played the way he was supposed to play since he got drafted first overall. He's got 4 touchdowns, 3 picks so far this year. You know, you're at home against a Texans team that is 0-2, so a little bit of a surprise at 0-2. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence, he had a situation last week. He waved off his head coach. He's just, you know, he's not bad enough to completely label the bust, but he's nowhere near good enough to say that he's absolutely the guy. He's just in a weird space. So, for me, it's Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, waving off his head coach like
see that.
I mean, come on, dude. That's just so disrespectful.
And I didn't think he was like that. I thought he was, like, almost too... I didn't know if he had enough bite in him, like enough dog. Like, I was surprised that he did that. So, not only are you not playing that well, but you're not even on the same page. It's just not a good look.
And, like, imagine him waving off Urban Meyer. Like, I know Urban had his own issues, but you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, dude. Or any, you know, popular coach that has had experience. He's doing it with a first-time guy, so maybe he feels like he'd get away with it.
Yeah.
To me, that's a problem with the structure of the NFL. All right, let's finish up on the phones. 888-808-1019. Jerry is calling from Chester, New York. What's up, Jerry?
Yeah, guys, I got a big fantasy football dilemma. I have both quarterbacks, Mayfield and Mahomes, going against the Giants and the Jets, and I am torn on who to pick. Because I'm a Giants fan, and my luck, I'll start Mahomes, and then the Giants will find their defense and, like, sack them, like, 7 times.
Well,
so I'm, like, worried about that, and then I'm worried the Jets' defense will step up and make Baker Mayfield pay miserable.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about, like, that as much. I would take Baker.
The Jets
defense does not look good so far.
Yeah, Worthy coming back, though. Here's what I would do, though, Jerry. You said you're a Giants fan, right?
Yeah.
So this should be an easy one. Like, you don't want to start, even though I know it's like you're putting your fandom before trying to win the game, potentially.
Yeah.
I would not want to, and thank you for the call, I would not want to start the guy that's playing my team if I had a choice.
Yeah, not at this point in the season. No, that's way too early. You can't start playing those games. You're going to drive yourself crazy.
And you could just make the argument that Baker has more weapons to work with, whatever. Now, I happen to think, if you're asking me which one I think will have a better fantasy day, I would say Mahomes. But is it good enough to overcome dealing with against your own team?
Yeah. So, all right, big picture here. Jets, Bucks, low scoring? I think we both think the Giants KC will be a little low scoring.
I think the Jets are going to win the game, and I don't think they can win a high scoring game. So yeah, I would
2017,
say low 20s,
something like that.
Yeah, low 20s.
Low 20s.
At best.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that offensive line for the Bucs is a big issue, man. Yeah.
And they do have weapons all over the place. They could run it, they could throw it short, but I do think the Jets defense at some point is going to, you know, bring it up here.
Are we sure about this? I mean, Mike, I just saw this that Jermaine Johnson's out. He's not going to play. I saw that a little bit ago.
Yeah,
more
McDonald's
snaps for Clemens.
Yeah.
I don't know. They haven't stopped the run yet so far.
I do believe in the Jets defense being able to turn it around a little bit. I don't think they're just going to be a brutal unit all year long.
No, I don't think so either. I think that this is going to sound crazy. The limitations of the Chiefs offense to me, and plus the Giants defensive, in theory, strengths, like they're good players. I don't think the Kansas City's going nuts this weekend. I just don't.
Yeah, but I could see Mahomes putting up a lot of points. If I like Kelce and Worthy potentially coming back.
Yeah, you like Kelce.
I think Pacheco can run the football on the Giants defense. That's going to be the biggest key to the game. Everybody's focused on Mahomes or Kelce or Worthy potentially. Pacheco could run the football down their throats, and then the Giants are going to be screwed. That's a team that has not proven to be able to run the football. You know, with the Jets, the other part of it to me, BT, not so much the defense. Well, this is not the Bills. Like, everybody's overreacting to each week. Like last week, it's reacting to the Giants game. They also played the crappy Cowboys, or at least who I think are crappy. The Jets played the Bills, who are one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league. The Bucs are good. They're not that. I think they're going to be able to have their way with them as far as running the football behind a great offensive line, which, by the way, I got a big tip. The offensive line was at rails last night.
No, oh, serious?
Jets offensive line. The entirety of the offensive line.
Got a little chemistry.
You know, building chemistry.
There you go.
Getting fat on that good rails food.
That's
out
good
there
food over there.
The
yeah, Frankie
there.
Hook them up?
I don't know if you hooked them up, but I know you that know. They were there.
All right, so let's... Okay, so now hold on. So the Jets, I would feel better about that. And I know what you mean about the Bills. Bills are really good. But I would feel better about the Jets if they didn't play so poorly, dude.
All right.
Well, I mean, think about like if
they got away from them.
I don't even know if it got away from them. It never started in their control from the first position, three and out, and then you had the bad throw by Fields, then eventually you had a Fields fumble.
Yeah.
Then you had the Clemens penalty. They couldn't stop the run. They just looked bad from the outset.
And they can't play from
behind.
They
didn't look ready, the Jets, last week.
Stop the run, run the football. But that, to me, in this particular game, is going to be imperative.
I agree, but did you think the Jets looked ready to play football last week? I didn't think they were even ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We get into that conversation. Like, ready to play. So what is that? Like, you don't think that they were physically ready to perform?
I know it's a fine line. I know it's a slippery slope. I mean, listen, you could be fully ready. You could have three amazing practices. You could be locked into film, and you fumble the first possession. Is that necessarily indicative?
Right.
I know what you mean. Like, it doesn't mean that you weren't ready to play, but when you don't recover after not being ready to play, then I could at least say that your mettle or your toughness or your ability to push through wasn't there. And that's worrisome anyway you cut it.
I would just look at that game. And again, I could be wrong, but my opinion of that game is that I just think that they got outclassed by the far better team. I don't think that's going to be the case this weekend in Tampa. Hirsch is calling from Valley Stream. What's up, Hirsch?
Hey, boys. How are you?
Hirsch. Good.
Listen, I have to say, and I'm not a blow-smoke kind of guy, but you guys are clicking on all cylinders. Not only is it the best show on the station right now, but it's the best station since Mike and Chris have been together. I think you guys are doing fantastic.
Well, we appreciate that very
Thanks,
much.
Hirsch.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, BT, you're going to love this, because we're about the same age, and we root for the same teams.
Mm-hmm.
1992, Camden Yards opened up. I went there for my 21st birthday with my best friends. Danny Tartable had 9 RBIs on a Sunday night game. You might remember that.
I remember that game.
I haven't been back.
I remember. Keep going.
Yeah, so I haven't been back to Camden Yards since then. I'm on the Jersey Turnpike with my 15-year-old son, Maxwell. We're heading down for a weekend of Yankee baseball against the Orioles right
nice.
Now.
Nice. How about that? Mine from Judge tonight? 15-year-old boy? Hey, your dad's doing a great thing. That's awesome. So your son's never been to Camden Yards, obviously. First time, right?
We've done the tweet. It's obviously been to Yankee Stadium many times.
Yeah.
We've been to D.C. We've been to Philly. Never took him to Camden before,
awesome.
Though. First time.
Have a fantastic weekend.
Yeah.
That's
that
awesome,
ballpark.
Dude.
I got to get back there.
That's
for
beautiful yard.
Trip.
I haven't been there in a long time. Thank you, Hirsch. Appreciate the kind words, too.
Yeah, you got it. We're heading down now. But listen, as far as just the Jackson Dart thing, I mean, and it's not you guys so much, but I listen to all these pundits and experts talking about letting him play. You know, what he did in the preseason means literally nothing as far as I'm concerned. He didn't play against anybody. He's not playing against top-notch defenses when he's playing in the preseason. Can we just chill out with Jackson Dart? Russell Wilson's going to be fine. Let him play until he can't play anymore. But the Jackson Dart's going to be the next great thing. Let the guy learn a little bit. Let him hold the clipboard a little bit, is my opinion.
I'm with you, Hirsch, and thank you for the call. But you can't temper fans' excitement for wanting to see their future now. In, by the way, a league, this is not 1985 anymore. In a league now where rookies do come in and have immediate success.
Yeah.
So it's not unheard of to have a guy come in and have some success. For me, it was never about Russell Wilson. It was always about the plan. I would be sticking with the plan and just letting Dart sit and learn, watch and learn as long as I can before turning it over to him.
I would too. But then, and I thought that that's what the Giants were going to do. But then I don't know why he's quarterback too.
Right.
I mean, so it's not even what we say, it's what they're doing.
Right.
You know, they see him, they believe that he's ready. See,
and he's getting in games, like he got in the game already. Like,
exactly, and that's why he's QB2. Like, to me, the issue for the job, for his growth, what I thought was going to be very tricky to thread here would be, if he was quarterback 3, then what kind of meaningful reps is he getting in practice?
Right.
So that was always the issue. But it's a fine line between getting some reps in practice and going next in line in a game if and when Russell Wilson gets hurt. They got faith.
Eli calling from the Jersey Shore. What's on your mind today, Eli?
Hey, Eli.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I'm calling really to tattletale on the guy who's coming up right after you, Evan, and I love him, but he's had this idea for a long time. I tried to get through to tell him, couldn't get through, but his idea, I'm sure, I don't know if you've heard it yet, but in regards to the Yankees playoff rotation, about holding off Max Fried, who's obviously their number one guy, instead of doing the conventional way, pitching him game one, his idea is, let me hold him off until I need him. And, yeah, if I fall down 1-0 or it's 1-1, then I'll pitch him in the game to save my season. But if they sweep, then I could save him for the ALDS game one.
Yeah, I'm not messing around with that. I don't think the Yankees had that margin for error. I have not heard Evan say that. I appreciate Evan's baseball passion and his love. I think that that's nuts. I there's no way that you save somebody like Fried in the event that you get to step two. Worry about step one.
Saying you wouldn't pitch him in the wild card round?
I guess that's what... Yeah, no, meaning you would pitch him... You would save him for later in the series, in the wild card. And if you happen to win without him, then you would have him ready for game one of the DS, which is way overthinking it. Hey, Max Fried. What I think is a little more complicated is who gets the baseball after that. For a while, I was sitting there saying, I think it's going to be Cam Schlittler in the 3-hole, that it would be Fried, that it would be Rodon, that it would be Schlittler. It very well might be Fried, Rodon, and then Heel. And then Schlittler out of the bullpen. I don't know, but Freed's the ace. He's getting the baseball game one.
Yeah, what I can't understand is why you would call us with a point that Evan made up.
I don't know.
You got to call him. I mean, we appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. But, like, you got to call Evan. He's coming up next. You could call back in 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.